This is Brunch with the Hollowells, and here's a quote from Rob.
I almost had you, hero. No matter. I have eternity to teach you fear, and even if it takes that long, you will learn fear.
This sounds like it'd be from, like, Perseus or from some Greek tale.
Well, it's a little fitting for this episode, actually. This comes from the 1994 to 95 animated series Aladdin.
Oh, I used to watch that.
Yeah, this is Mirage. This is our cat, Sphinx, evil elemental enchantress, who's voiced by Bebe Neuwirth.
I know the name and I know I've seen her, but I couldn't tell you what she's been in right now.
Oh, she's freaking amazing. So she's known for her stage and musical performances. She has one hell of a voice, very sassy, along with this character Mirage. And she played Morticia in the Broadway Addams Family.
Oh, I might have seen her because I did see it on Broadway.
Okay, well, yeah, she is amazing, and her voice definitely goes with this character. I don't remember the series too well, but I do remember this character, and when I was looking her up and watching a couple of scenes, she's a very evil person. She just gives two shits about being good in the slightest, so she's an awesome character. I think she's cool. She reminds me a lot of Homegirl from DuckTales.
Woo! Castispella.
Yes, there we go. Not as funny, but she's still pretty up there on the sass. So I thought I'd honor her today. And again, with this whole sort of theme of our episode that we got going on, welcome everyone to Brunch with the Hollowells. I'm Rob the Charm Fanatic.
I'm Sean. I'm watching it for the first time.
And for anyone who is new to our show, welcome. This is a show where I am a huge Charm fan, showing a friend of mine the series for the first time, as I don't know, Sean, if you would have ever watched this without this podcast. Do you think you would still have gone without watching this at all?
You know, what was stopping me is the same reason I still haven't watched Smallville. It's because when you look at a show and it's like 8 to 10 seasons long, that's a big freaking commitment. So that was the only thing holding me back from finally starting it, I think.
I believe that is completely fair. I mean, there are series right now that I was watching but stopped, and I want to return, but there's just so much to catch up on. And so you have to be in that mentality to be like, I'm going to concentrate on this show. And then if you mix it in with other shows that you're watching, it could just fall off the rails again. And then you won't be watching it, you know?
Yeah, I would say there's definitely been like periods during the show where, like, if I was watching it on my own, I definitely would have watched some episodes like back to back, or like much quicker, of course, than one a week.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. Well, we are doing one episode at a time, recapping this amazing original series, and we are coming up on our 100th episode. We have, I think, two more left after this, and I am super, super excited. And then we're also doing an IG live recording, partially or maybe even the full episode, as we recap the 100th episode. A little ahead of schedule, but again, timing had to work out this way. All right, Sean, should we get started with our show?
Let's get started with our show, Rob.
Okay. All right. We are doing season 5, episode 10. And this episode aired January 6, 2003. Okay, so Sean, if you remember last week, we did an episode, and that aired, when was it? November 17th. So you get a weekly break while we had to wait almost 2 months for this next episode. Yeah, they made us wait, and so close to the 100th episode, too. But, I mean, obviously, it was around winter break, and this is usually when shows take a break. So, Sam I Am was the last one for a while, and then this is the first episode after two almost 2 months. So let's see if this episode is worth the wait, literally.
A demon named Jarek is carrying a dying young woman into a house. The police, led by Daryl, are after him. I always get excited when we see Daryl.
Because we don't see him often, and I'm trying to remember the last time we saw him. He didn't have any hair. Like, he was sort of, like, buzz cut, right? He, like, grew his hair out in this one. Yeah, so he looked kind of different. I liked it.
I know. I like him with that hair.
Mm-hmm.
The young woman is a witch possessed by the spirit of Isis, his dead lover. Jarek asks Isis to scry for another body. Just as she finds something, the woman dies. Jarek chants an incantation, Sakara Tiet Ushabti, and turns the woman into a mummy. A large beetle-shaped brooch appears on her chest. He then disappears in a cloud of sand. Daryl and the police break in and find only the mummy and a pile of sand. Daryl grabs his cell phone and calls Phoebe. Cue the credits.
So I love Daryl in this. He sees the sand on the ground and he knows so much game by now. He looks at that and was like, damn it, I know somebody teleported out this way. And you can see it in his face. He was like, motherfucker, I got to deal with magic again.
Right.
Let me call the sisters. He already knew. He's like, this ain't no normal case. I got to deal with this shit. He already knows. I love it.
Now, Rob, ding, ding, ding. Would you like a history lesson?
Sure. History lessons are fun.
So I know we've broached scrying on the show before, but we weren't doing our little history lessons then. So I wanted to share a little bit of the history of scrying for you.
Okay, yeah.
So it goes all the way back to the Hebrew Bible, where divination is briefly mentioned in chapter 44 of the book of Genesis, and it all goes around a silver chalice or cup that's deliberately planted in Benjamin's sack as he's leaving Egypt to try to frame him for stealing it. And another person, Joseph, the vizier of Egypt, claims that the cup was used for divination. So that's kind of the beginning of the idea of scrying. It also showed up in ancient Persia in a similar story called the Cup of Jamshid. And then they even talk about how Mormonism is basically in the late 1820s when Joseph Smith found the tablets from God, or that he claimed were from God, that was a form of divination. So it's interesting how much it shows up within different religions.
Crazy. Yeah, I've never really heard of scrying as far as this show is concerned. So anything that you tell me, I will believe.
Good, because I made all that up.
No, that's actually pretty interesting. I didn't know it had anything to do with Mormonism. I don't really even notice it now. Like, a lot of people don't really... I don't know. Have you seen it in movies lately? Not even, you know, which movies, but just in general, like any type of scrying?
Not a lot. I think we're kind of used to it in different ways. Like, for example, in Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, like the mirror, mirror on the wall thing, like that's a very pop culture form of scrying that we wouldn't think about. But showing the face in there, I think, makes it like cuter in a way.
You are correct. No, that makes total sense. Yeah. I can understand that. So, Sean, did you happen to recognize Jarek?
Oh, no. No, I did not, Rob.
So, this is Duncan, his character from the Highlander movie and series. So, he's mostly popular from that.
I went through the biggest Highlander phase. I can't believe I didn't recognize him. And now that you say it, it's so obvious.
Maybe it's because he doesn't have long hair. I don't know. But this is played by Adrian Paul. And our witch / Isis was played by Shannon Ingeman. But yeah, you can recognize him mostly from the Highlander series. But he also played a character named Dante from Arrow. And I think I know who it is, but that show's villains just blend in so much. I can't picture him right now. But I'm not surprised that he's in that show. So Paige has talked Piper into shopping for maternity clothes. And Piper is starting to show finally. My God, it's about damn time this woman was showing. Doesn't it feel like she's been pregnant forever?
Yeah.
I was like, when is this woman going to show? She hasn't been able to get into her regular pants, and so Piper thinks the clothes look too cute for her liking. She also doesn't like how often people are touching her bump. What is the deal with people wanting to touch pregnant stomachs? I think that is the weirdest thing.
Yeah, I've had multiple pregnant women tell me, like, they don't appreciate that. But I have to be honest, I did that to one of my pregnant friends.
Oh, God. Well, I mean, unless they're like, ooh, it's kicking, let me see. But for a total stranger to just be like, oh, my God, we're all God's children, let me feel. It just doesn't make any sense. Like, personal space. It's just a weird thing. Even family is, like, on the cuff. Like, I wouldn't even want them touching my pregnant stomach. I don't know. It's just a weird concept. I don't know how society got into this whole thing of like, yeah, let me touch your belly while you're growing. Paige has a cramp in her neck, in part because Phoebe has been holed up in the manor for several days. Just then, Phoebe calls Paige's cell phone. Daryl wants to meet the sisters at the manor. Daryl tells the sisters about Jarek. He's suspected of killing 5 women in 5 different cities, including the woman who died earlier today. Daryl is certain that Jarek is a demon and that all of his victims were witches. I love it. He even goes, yeah, I think this is how he escapes, is through the sand. I was like, yep, school them. School them, Daryl. You know what's going on.
Right.
Phoebe offers to go to the crime scene so she can get a premonition. Daryl is wary at first, and he's up for promotion to lieutenant and thinks the numerous cases involving the sisters, whom he's often passed off as psychics, have delayed it. However, he relents but tells Piper to stay home. The forensic chemicals could be harmful for the baby. You see how he reached for that belly. Phoebe hopes to fit this in before getting a facial later in the afternoon. So in the shop where Piper is shopping for clothes, there is a saleswoman who is just trying to sell these clothes to Piper. Oh, it's so you, and these are clothes that are just right for you. And she's like, oh, you don't know me very well. Well, Sean, this woman happens to be the voice of Cerebro in the X-Men movie.
Wow.
Yeah. I know, it's so, like, out of nowhere. Yeah, let's just have the voice of Cerebro be in an episode of Charmed. But I looked up her filmography, and yes, she is Cerebro.
Now, Rob, this is great timing because I just heard a rumor today. I don't know how much validity there is to it, and I know by the time that this episode comes out, it will be possibly old news, but I'm still going to say it. I heard today that Marvel is looking to cast Emma Frost.
And they have someone in their sights. I did not see that news. Oh, no? God, who?
Lady Gaga.
I did read something about that, but I thought that was a fan's wish list.
Is it? I was told today it was a rumor.
So. Oh, I mean, you're probably right. I just saw that it was like, oh, yeah, please cast Lady Gaga, or they had one other person in mind. Like Samara Weaving or something. I can't remember who they said. There was some. Oh, yeah, Charlize. That's who it was. It was Charlize Theron. But I thought it was like fan casting. I didn't know that was an actual rumor.
Well, I'm here for it if it happens.
Really?
After seeing Gaga in Hotel, like, that's basically Emma.
Okay, hey, I mean, no, this is your girl, so I just wanted to make sure that she's, like, perfect for you. I would have been very protective over who plays her next, especially if she is going to get another chance at this, because I don't know how often they use Emma Frost and stuff, but that's cool. A coroner starts to examine the mummified corpse of Jarek's latest victim. He picks up a handsaw to cut the mummy open and is electrocuted. Jarek appears and sands away with the mummy. That was a very messed up death.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got electrocuted bad. I don't think I've seen it that heavy on this show, but yeah, what a way to go. At the apartment, Phoebe admits she's taking a break from dating for a while. Her impending divorce from Cole is wearing on her, and Phoebe can't get a premonition. Oh, what a surprise. But Paige finds the woman's scrying crystal. Phoebe is unwilling to take it, but Paige orbs the crystal into her pocket before she and Phoebe head back out. Did you notice, Sean, Phoebe's like crop top denim coat jacket she was wearing?
I did. It was weird the way it like cut off from the denim, like you said, to like white.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a very interesting design. I'd never seen anything like that before, but leave it to the sisters to wear something just like, yeah, just out of nowhere. But yeah, it was an interesting little top. So Paige, the little klepto, what do you think about her taking evidence from a crime scene? Granted, the cops can't solve this magical problem. Do you feel that it was right for Paige to take it away from the scene?
I don't think it was right, because I feel like if she did it the right way and talked to Daryl, he would have worked something out with her anyway. So yeah, she didn't have to do that.
You know, it's funny. I'm trying to remember exactly where the crystal was. I think it was under the couch, because I think Phoebe put it back exactly where she found it. So at that point, I'm like, you have to take it now because your fingerprints are all over it. But I find it funny. Yeah. But I also find it funny that if the crime, if CSI or whoever was already in there forensic and like did all the thing, I know that they take photographs of every inch of that place. And under couches and beds and tables is like literally the first thing you should be doing. So I'm really surprised that they even missed this, to be honest.
So are you saying we should defund the cops?
Right. Well, the other thing is like she takes it. Let's say they have a picture of it and they're like, oh, where's the crystal at? And it's nowhere to be found. That's going to get Daryl more in trouble anyway. So I wouldn't have taken it either.
Yeah. Piper is staring warily in the mirror at her maternity outfit when Leo appears out of nowhere. He was mesmerized by Piper's new outfit. He thinks it looks pretty. Piper admits that it isn't the clothes she minds. For some time, she's felt like people are treating her like a delicate object. Paige comes in, and Piper tells her about Jarek. In the Book of Shadows, a demon known not only for his witch killing, but also for his rituals of mummification. His evil dates as far back as ancient Egypt, and in the past few decades, he has resurfaced in the Middle East, Cairo, Istanbul, and Tripoli. He can be identified by the sand that is left behind in the wake of his dematerialization. He's been trying to find a body for Isis for some time, but lately has only surfaced in the Middle East. Leo adds that Jarek and Isis' previous victims have been dying because two souls can't occupy the same body. Jarek is trying to find a witch powerful enough to eject the host soul before her body gives out. Paige wonders why mummies are involved. Leo says that Jarek has been mummifying the corpses to keep Isis's soul from moving on. Paige chants a spell to find out what Isis found. Scrying secrets, come to me. Drop again so I might see. And the crystal lands at the intersection where the bay mirror is located. Isis is after Phoebe!
I actually like this scrying spell that Paige just came up with. I thought that was a nice little quick spell. And it sounded very witchy, too. I don't know. I just, the rhyming and all, I thought was pretty cool. So, Sean, we've got the sort of motivation of Jarek now. You see why he's doing what he is doing. What do you think about our villain of the week so far and his motives?
I guess I would say it's not super interesting to me, because they explain it, but not in very big detail. So it's just kind of like, all right, I guess that serves in getting mummies into the episode.
No, that's fair. So Phoebe pulls up to the office to find Jarek standing there. Piper, Paige, and Leo orb in just as Phoebe rushes at Jarek to kick him. This kick was everything. However, Jarek grabs her leg and sands her away. I just love how like she kicks and they have to pause and then they sand out. Paige scries but can't find Phoebe, and Leo can't sense her either. Jerick is somehow cloaking her, and Daryl calls to report the mummy's disappearance. He's being blamed for it, and Piper abruptly hangs up. She doesn't see any way to help Daryl short of catching Jerick. So Leo thinks that he can help Daryl out, but it requires breaking a lot of rules. Inside an Egyptian pyramid, Jerick places the beetle brooch on Phoebe's chest. He chants an incantation and transfers Isis' spirit to Phoebe's body. Kehet Mastaba Hotepka.
Piper and Paige visit Cole, who is trying in vain to kill himself. Piper and Paige want Cole to help find Phoebe, but Cole is unwilling at first. He blames Phoebe for his current mental state. When the sisters mention Jerick, Cole is willing to listen. Cole says that Jerick has been around since ancient Egyptian times. He was so powerful that no one could figure out how to vanquish him, so they mummified him instead. However, Isis, an evil witch, freed him and as a result was skinned alive. Strangely, Cole identifies with Jerick. He's trying to get his lover back as well. He suggests that maybe they should work together and abruptly fades away. Paige thinks it may have been a mistake to ask Cole for help. I found this scene funny, but at the same time, I was kind of like, Jesus, like he's trying to kill himself on this show aimed for teenagers.
Yeah, this scene was pretty dark in a way, but kind of meant for a little bit of comic relief. But we see the breaking point that Cole has reached. I mean, he's completely mad. He's full on evil at this point, and he is just over it. He's done. Like, to find out you're immortal and have to deal with this pain and anguish that the one thing that you want, you can't have. Like, he's over it. But I wonder if Piper had let the guillotine go, would it have worked? I mean, you notice that they didn't try it.
Yeah, I wanted to see that too. I thought it was going to like break or something and just show us completely like there's no way I can kill myself. So I wish that it did go down all the way in the last part of the scene.
So at this point, though, I think this is where the sisters are using every single angle that they can when it comes to saving each other. But I think they've gotten a little lazy in their own powers. And what I mean by that is that they don't believe in themselves to figure this stuff out on their own. You know, I mean, I don't want to bring it back to the heydays, you know, and I'm not saying that without Prue, they're incapable of doing this. But at the same time, they've turned to Cole a lot throughout the series. And yes, he may be an evil encyclopedia, but like you have Leo, you have the elders. And it's just coincidentally, the elders never know shit anymore. So they always have to kind of turn to Cole. And like, I just think that it's time they stop relying on him for help. And you see where it got them. It literally inspired him to do his own thing. And this is not the first time this season that that's happened.
That's true.
So, I don't know. Right now, Cole's off the deep end. It's really like, I would have taken one look at him killing himself and be like, you know what? We're good. We can handle this ourselves. But they are just so desperate to get Phoebe back. It's like, you can't mess with this dude. He's not good anymore. But I just think it's like, believe in yourself. You can do it on your own, you know?
Right.
So Isis Phoebe dances for Jerick, and she loves the power in Phoebe's body. I love how cliche this is, too, how he's sitting there feeding himself grapes overhand like the way that he does. I'm like, no, there's no need for that. But the fact that they're all playing around, too, when they've got like Phoebe's soul in there, like, just get rid of it. Why do you have time to dance? You know these bodies burn out so quickly. Like, she's sitting there just having fun like it ain't nothing. But she casts a spell to expel Phoebe's soul from her body and send it into the afterlife. But the spell doesn't work. Immediately afterwards, Cole blasts his way into Jerick's pyramid. Jerick raises a dust storm around Cole, but Cole fights it off. Cole offers to help Jerick if he can help him get Phoebe back, but Isis knows that Phoebe isn't at all interested. Jerick is also skeptical. But Cole notices Phoebe's body is already beginning to break down. apparently upper-level witches burn out faster than less powerful witches when they have two souls inside of them. Cole suggests forcing the sisters to use the power of three to get Isis out of Phoebe's body. Jarek wants a replacement, and Cole asks Jarek if he'd like to have Isis' soul in a redhead's body. A reference to Paige. So, Sean, what do you think of Cole's plan here?
I think it's interesting. I like that he's willing to get rid of Paige just to save Phoebe. I'll talk more on it later. I don't necessarily like where it goes, I guess.
I gotcha. For him, I do think this is kind of a clever plan for somebody who's super evil. Yeah. I mean, having Phoebe halfway dead at this point and all her body needs to do is break down, I think this is actually a really good plan to save her.
I love Phoebe and her slave Leia realness.
Oh, you like that? So she actually learned how to belly dance for real just for this episode.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I don't know how natural it is to just belly dance, but if it looked authentic, she did do her research.
Wow, she's confronting her fear of water this season. She's learning how to belly dance. Like, this is her season.
Right?
Daryl drives to a dock to find Leo waiting for him. Leo offers to help Daryl make it look like he caught Jarek and suddenly glamours into Jarek's appearance. A shocked Daryl initially refuses to go along, even when Jarek punches him. As more cops arrive, Daryl handcuffs Jarek even while saying he won't play along. Piper scries for Phoebe, tapping into the baby's powers to help break through Jarek's cloaking. Suddenly, the crystal flies across the attic and lands on a globe. Piper and Paige notice the crystal has landed on Egypt. They took Phoebe to Egypt? They orb into Jarek's pyramid, but Cole and Jarek catch them there. Piper raises her hands to freeze the two demons, but Cole opens a portal under Piper's feet and sends her back to the manor. Paige tries to orb out, but Cole waves his hand and slams Paige to the ground. Jarek mummifies Phoebe and transfers the spirit of Isis to Paige.
So I do love Adrian Paul's acting, trying to act like Leo.
Yeah.
When he shapeshifts. I thought that was so adorable. And it was funny, the minute that he shifts into Jarek, he does like the shoulder shrug. And I was like, that is so Leo. I love that he did that. That little nuance just was like, oh my God, this is so Leo. But I just thought it was funny. I also thought it was a good idea to have Leo voice over him as well.
Yeah, I think so too.
So, Sean, we noticed that Jarek's sort of love for Isis is sort of on this Mr. Freeze level of romantics. What do you think about villainy like that? Not to say that it's like justified or whatever the case, but do you find these stories to be interesting or, you know, do they actually want to save their women or are they just crazy in general and that's something that they're focused on?
I didn't think about that. He is like Mr. Freeze because he is doing these crimes just to save Isis. I think where Mr. Freeze is more tragic and why villains like him, in my opinion, work more than Jarek is I feel like Mr. Freeze is cast out by society. Like, nobody's helping him. He doesn't have the money for the equipment and he's doing it all. He's doing everything wrong for the right reasons, whereas Jarek just feels like a little more selfish because he has to take lives for Isis.
So Piper calls for Leo. He finally appears, still glamored as Jarek, and Piper blasts him. Only then does Leo realize he forgot to drop his glamour. Piper decides to change into regular clothes. She thinks Cole needs her for something and wants to head back to Egypt to save her sisters. Leo, however, thinks it's better to summon Cole to the manor. Isis is getting a massage from Jarek. She thinks Paige has been too rough on her body. Jarek wants Isis to keep working on the spell before Paige's body burns out. Cole walks in on them, and he plans to draw Piper back to the pyramid so she and Paige can read a spell to expel Paige's soul. They they can simply hold Phoebe's hand to activate the power of three, which is true. They did it once in season one, even before Phoebe was born. So I can't call shenanigans on that, but I'm glad they explained it to us that she wasn't there to say the spell with them. Piper, however, summons Cole to the manor and demands that he returns her sisters. She tries to blow him up, but the blast doesn't even scratch him. Cole throws an energy ball at Piper, but the baby's protective shield deflects it across the room. So Piper is super badass at this point. I love it. That is all.
That is all. So I'll admit something to you, Rob, and I can't remember if we've talked about this on this show or not. I love a man in a onesie.
You have not talked about this.
Getting to see both Leo and Adrian Paul in this like worker like onesie outfit, I'm here. It, especially when like Leo turns around to do something and it shows his butt, I'm like, yes, mama.
Well, I will say that we have talked about this on the show, and you know my opinion about orange on clothing. I'm good.
Well, it's not Leo's color either, according to Piper. So I'm
it isn't.
All right, Jarek and Isis are passionately kissing each other when Jarek notices Isis is starting to sweat profusely. Paige's body is already breaking down. Piper and Cole exchange several blasts, but Leo stops the fight. Cole tells Piper that she can only save one sister. Isis won't revive Phoebe if Paige's spirit isn't expelled, but Paige's body will burn out if Isis stays there. Piper is distraught. She can't bring herself to save only one of her sisters. Leo bucks her up and tells her to listen to her heart. I love the fight between Piper and Cole. It was just so funny. Like, and he even says it, you're both freaking immortal. What are you doing wasting all this time?
I know. It's like, you're not going to get anywhere with this. Just stop. They're such babies, both of them.
Yep.
But I will say that Piper knows how to keep it together when it comes to looking tough in front of evil. She is like the queen of bluff in this show. She puts up a front, but I know she wanted to break down hearing his proposal. I mean, that's a really fucked up thing to ask her to do. That's an example of Sophie's choice, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Well, I like I said, I gotta give it to her. I would not know what to do in that bit of situation, especially she's on limited time to make a decision. So I thought this was pretty evil of Cole to do. But yeah, good for Piper for, you know, don't let him see you cry, girl. So Cole and Piper fade to the pyramid. Piper says that she will save Phoebe, but will use her own spell. See right there? I'd have been like, no. You are not reading your own spell. You're going to read my spell. I'm a witch. I wrote a spell. You'll read mine or the deal is off. I can't believe they allowed her to read her own shit.
Right.
Yeah, it was a very weird thing. But anyways, two wearing souls now burn inside where only one can reside. I call upon the power of three to save her body and set her free. And I believe she said set her. I think she said Paige's name, set Paige free, right? If I'm not mistaken.
I think so.
I think so. So, I mean, yes, if reading it a certain way, the way the spell is supposedly worked does make sense. But, Sean, what did you think Piper was going to do at this point? Did you have any idea how this was going to play out?
Okay, so this is what I was kind of, like, referring to earlier. I didn't think it was going to go down the way it did, and I think the way it went down was kind of, like, lackluster to me. It showed, like, yeah, she's smart enough to know that Paige would know the spell, but in my mind, what I thought was going to happen is she was going to surprise us as an audience and surprise Cole and be like, fine, kill Phoebe, because Cole would not let Phoebe die, so I wanted to see him, like, have to fight his way back out of his own plan in order to save Phoebe, and then they would be able to save Paige from there.
It's very interesting that you say that, because, you know, I'm trying to think of a way that they could have saved both of them without doing it the way that it was executed. And I don't know if there is one. And so, yeah, it really would have been interesting to see if Cole was able to take sort of this deal back, or would he reverse time? I don't know. It just would have been interesting to see if Cole would have really let them kill her, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So let's see how it plays out. So the spell expels Isis rather than Paige. And you couldn't tell in the thing, in the scene. So did you know that that was Paige, or did it fool you when we found out that it was Paige?
The thing that got me is it did look like Paige when it came off of her. So I didn't think it was Isis, but I mm-hmm. was waiting for the other shoe to drop, because I figured they weren't gonna kill Paige because she's on the box sets for the three seasons after this.
That could have been Isis the whole time. You don't know.
True.
So Paige replies by kneeing Jarek in the groin. Before Cole can react, Piper blasts him across the room. Paige, having learned that the necessary incantation from Isis sets Phoebe free. Dromos Wabat Kafu Nemes Ak. Piper then blows up Jarek. Cole sarcastically congratulates the sisters. Phoebe wonders what could have possibly made Cole work with a demon. And Cole replies that he's crazed and fades out. So, never in my life would I be able to remember the incantation after it being said never in this episode. I'm guessing she absorbed her memory because Isis was able to feel that Phoebe didn't want Cole anymore, and the fact that Paige's body was all worn out, that once in each other's bodies, they share secrets and things, you know? Mm-hmm. There's different types of possessions that we've experienced, you know, ones with ghosts, other demons, other spirits and what have you, and it's all very different each time, but apparently because they were in the same body, Paige was able to remember this spell. I'm not calling shenanigans. I just think it's very far-fetched that not only would Piper think of this, but Paige would catch on so quickly as to what she was doing.
Yeah, I agree. It seemed very like, okay, that's acceptable, but it seemed very simple at the same time too, and like a little far-fetched, like you said.
Do you call shenanigans at all on how it played out, Sean?
I'm not going to call shenanigans because I've seen multiple like possessions where they say I was aware of what was going on, but I couldn't control myself. So mm-hmm. I'm on that page. Page. But, page. but you're right. I do. The only part that I think was risky and they don't really account for is that Paige remembered the spell and was able to do it so fast.
Yeah, yeah. So Piper comes home from a shopping spree to find Phoebe and Paige giving each other makeovers. Don't you wish real life represented what we just saw? Alyssa and Rose getting along, doing makeovers together, having a moment. Oh, the good old days.
Right. And when I was watching this episode, I was watching the two of them interact like a hawk. I was like, any like batted eyes or like snarled lips while they're talking. But they do play it off very well that they actually like each other.
Yeah, yeah. Piper reveals that Daryl got his promotion and also admits that she went shopping for maternity clothes. Piper strikes a pose, showing off her proud baby belly. And that is E2 Mommy Tambien. Sean, Woo! What do you think of our episode?
I thought it was okay for kind of the reasons I said, for the fact that I felt like the whole mummy story was not fully realized, and like the ending with Piper could have been more exciting of an answer. So I'm going to say it was a catch it late.
Okay. So, wow. If you had to wait almost 2 months for this episode, you would have been pretty disappointed.
Yeah, I would have pooped on the ground.
Well, that's okay. I mean, I think we've been doing really good. We're almost to the middle of the season. I think we're bound to get one or two episodes that feels like a little bit of a filler. But what we can take from this episode for sure is that Cole is seriously off the deep end. So we've got to deal with him very, very quickly. Yeah, this episode, I wouldn't say is super lackluster. It's not as strong as some of the other ones. That make it a bad episode? Not necessarily. Some of the set pieces in the pyramid I thought were fascinating, and it seemed a little bit of fun as far as like some of the powers that were shown in this, as far as the mummification and things. Mm-hmm. But yeah, not a strong episode for season five.
The only episode I remember, like, actually not liking is the wedding episode from season one.
Yeah, I mean, that goes without saying, for sure. Okay, so a little bit of notes from this episode that I caught. So when told by Cole that she has to choose between Phoebe and Paige, and Piper asked Cole, "How can you be so evil?" And he replied, "It's a gift." This was also said in Murphy's Luck, which also guest starred Voslo, who was the mummy in the movie edition. When Prue asked the spirit killer, that was Arnold Voslo, "How dare you hurt people this way?" His answer was, "It's a gift."
Oh.
Ichu Mama Tambien is a spoof on the Mexican movie Ichu Mama Tambien, which translated means "and your mom too," T-O-O. Piper quotes Caroline Astor, an American heiress and prominent member of New York society, when she says, "If you got it, then you must flaunt it." Well, I am very proud of Piper being proud of her baby bump and fitting into the... What did you think of her maternity clothes before she went shopping on her own? Did you like that outfit she was wearing the whole time?
Not really. I like the one that she bought from the store that she initially didn't like more than the clothes before that.
Yeah. No. I agree. Yeah. Wear what you want, women. Shoot. I mean, I think they kind of go for comfort than fashion when it comes to maternity clothes, but you know, there's some good stuff out there. Mm-hmm. All right, Sean, I think it's time for us to find out who won our Witch round last week.
Yay, I love this part.
So this one comes from Chris Michael Berrios. Sean, why don't you remind everyone of our debate?
Thank you for asking, Rob. It was Nancy from The Craft versus Nico from Runaways. And we are on a quest to find out who the bigger Star Wars fan is.
Awesome. Our two emo witches watching Star Wars. All right, so here's what Chris Michael said. "I really felt an affinity for Rob while going through the motions of listening to this. God helps us all," was my thought to when it came to his turn based on his confidence level and my prior knowledge of Nico, especially with Sean's interpretation of a small goth Nancy watching Darth Maul and pledging to be future witch Sith Lord burning in my ears. I'm guessing he's a big Star Wars fan. But his explanation of Nico's relationships and her partners and the fact that one of them was a tech nerd, I knew she'd ultimately be a bigger fan as she'd probably have more exposure to it and would be invested because her partner was, and space, because she dates an alien woman apparently. So the dark side is nice, but love conquers all in the end. Rob is the winner.
Boo. Yes. I mean, yay.
I really don't know much about the Runaways, but they're now just another on my very long list of things to check out. But that means I would have followed Sean's logic and probably assumed Nancy, just as she is the product of the times. Awesome answer. I love it. He even explains it and thought my argument was better. Yay! Nice try, Sean.
Whatever.
All right, so we also asked Chris Michael the Charmy Spotlight questions. Who is your favorite sister and why? So he chose Piper. I always think that it'll be a struggle to answer because I really do love each of them so much, but it always comes down back to her. I even named a guinea pig after her, and she was loud, took no bullshit, and was adorable just like our Piper. I really think that even though the show is about the four of them, Piper, like Patty says on her wedding, is and always has been the heart of the family. Holly is also one I knew the least about. I knew Shannon from Heather's, Alyssa from Who's the Boss, and Rose from Scream. So watching her, she was immediately the one that I wanted to know the most about and the one that drew me in season one with her powers. Storyline and her love story with Leo and that ghost. Oh, yes, Mark. Love me some Mark and Piper. I also think as a character, she goes through the most growth and really helps her help steer the family down the best path as the middle sister, then the oldest. Plus, I really want to be able to freeze time at the flick of an open palm. That's not a good answer. I like that.
Yeah.
So then, what is your favorite episode of the series? So I left this for last. Similarity to your sister's question, there are just so many that I love and I'm stuck between two. But the one that I think of when I think of Charmed is All Hallows Eve. Piper dressed as Glinda, freezing time with her bouncing wand. I did love that. Phoebe as Elvira and then creating the classic motif while flying in the conical hat. Too many quotable lines that I still laugh at. Daryl thinking he can shoot demons. them getting to learn firsthand about their heritage and seeing them in the 1600 costumes. And Prue being the super witch she is really make it an episode I will never be tired of. The other toss-up, ironically, would have been the other time-traveling episode, which is Morality Bites. That is when Phoebe learns that she's a murderer. So how has Charmed affected your life? My grandmother was someone who had a heavy hand in raising me and was one to freely talk about things like magic and divination and would eventually teach me a few things, all while keeping a strong Christian faith. It may sound like a weird paradox, but to us, it made perfect sense. So hearing all of these stories, I grew to love witches in the media and art. I would seek them out everywhere, and eventually I came across Charmed. Like Rob, I really didn't know anyone who was a fan up until maybe my first year of college, so it was always just something I had for myself. I started watching sometimes around 2000, 2002, while I was in grade school, and I would be up early, and there they were on TNT, and eventually because the show, they show them chronologically starting like at 4 a.m., I caught up. So I bought the first DVD of the first season and would eventually look out for notices in the TV guide. I even had clipping of Phoebe in a pretty unique costume because of how much joy it sparked. And so I remember I first watched season 4. I was just confused and I thought I had missed something. I watched All Hell Breaks Loose a couple of times and it didn't make sense. And I stayed away from the show for a while because I was afraid it was going to be the same. I really loved Prue and Shannon, and I guess it was the type of mourning. So then I'm sure one day I gave it a chance, probably for Piper, and loved what they did. Paige is the super witch that Prue was even now in season 5, and I really think she is so necessary to the story of the Charmed Ones that I think everything, even their destiny as a whole, makes sense, including Prue not even being there. So how did Chris Michael find our podcast? So he was looking for a Charm-themed playlist on Spotify with music from the show. And then our logo caught his eye, and everything that followed was magic. You guys have an awesome chemistry, and the premise is pretty amazing. And as a New Yorkian, it's fun to have Rob's perspective as another person of color who fangirls over this kind of stuff. As I've been listening, it really does feel like I'm at brunch with the gays talking witches, just like Carrie and the gang. I really only listen. I love that. I really only listen to a few podcasts, so finding one this niche really is a blessing. And I'm always eager to hear what Sean has to say with his fresh perspective and geeky insight, and then Rob's respond as a diehard fan like myself. I love the format of the show, including the new additions, and I think it all just flows beautifully. By that, I mean I have been binging it since just before April. I really appreciate you guys reaching out and will be subscribing to the Patreon, as it was my plan once I caught up anyways. Keep up the great work. So I will say this, he definitely lived up to his email. He did sign up to be a Patreon. So thank you so much, Chris Michael, for joining our journey in the attic. And there he'll be able to listen to some bonus episodes as well as receive a couple of merch items. So definitely look out for that. All right. Well, thank you so much, Chris Michael, for your answers. And if anybody out there would like to be a Charmy spotlight on our show and judge one of our Witch games or any other future game that might come up during this season, just send us a direct message either on Instagram or Twitter. On Instagram, we're Brunch with the Hollowells, all one word. And on Twitter, BWTH Podcast. Look forward to getting to know more of you out there. All right, Sean, it's time to judge some men. Yes. It's Hot Man Mita.
A boy is mine.
So we have a lot of law enforcement to go through, but then we also have our villain of the week, Mr. Adrian Paul, who played Jarek. Does Jarek make your top 10 list? This hopeless romantic that will do anything for you.
I liked him on Highlander, except for his long hair. And then he cuts off his long hair. And I'm here for it, Rob. So he is going right under Daryl Morris, or actually right over Daryl Morris.
Ah, okay. So he becomes your number 3, which knocks off the aggressor from your list.
That's okay. I couldn't see his face anyway.
Your number 10 is now Sam Wilder, who is Paige's father. I am actually going to add Jarek to the list, too. I think he is a very handsome man, and too bad there was never an opportunity for that shirt to come off. If I had seen any shred of chest hair on there, he probably would have ended up being number 1 or 2. But because we didn't get to see no skin, I'm putting him under Daryl Morris. I still think Daryl is pretty damn hot this season, so he becomes my number 5. And I have a total of 8 men now. Oh, no. Yeah, he's my number 5. All right, then, Sean, we have Officer Worley, played by Greg Benson. So this was the guy who took down Paige and Phoebe's names and made fun of Daryl for bringing psychics to the crime scene. So if you remember this gentleman, does he make your top 10 list?
I'm sorry, Rob. He does not make it.
Okay, so I actually think he was pretty cute, but not hot enough for the list. So, Greg Brinson, you're looking good, but just not that good. Then we have our coroner who took a shock. This is played by Dwight Bakwe. Does our coroner make your top 10 list? You know, you got a guy who isn't afraid of death. You know, he likes mummies. He'll cut up a bitch. What do you think about our coroner?
I don't know. He spends all that time with those dead bodies. I don't know if I could trust him.
Okay. But you'll trust a guy to go down an alley to a club that you ain't never heard of. Okay. I see where your head's at.
I feel like you're judging me.
I'm never letting that go. I wouldn't have this podcast if that asshole had led you down astray. You took a risk. And you knew you had this podcast in like 10 years. So no more alleys for you.
There goes my social life.
All right. Then we have Officer Number 2. Sad he did not get a name, but this is the gentleman who praised Daryl for his pseudo arrests on the docks when Leo was impersonating Jarek. I don't know if you remember this gentleman, Sean, but this is played by Brian David Cohen. Does this gentleman make your top 10 list? And if you need to look him up, go ahead, because he is fine as fuck.
Oh, girl, I'm already looking. I've got one hand down my pants and one flipping through my phone. He is very good looking. I am not going to put him on my list, though.
You're not putting him on his list. I get it. You're at a max. You need to be very, very careful at this point. Well, I'm not at a max. He's going on my goddamn list. This man is gorgeous. But not that hot. He's going over our TV reporter from the Siren episode. So he is going to be my number 8, which means that I have 9 people on my list now. So I'm almost caught up with you, Sean, with a full list. So it looks like we shook up our hot man meters. How about everyone who's listening today? Remember, you are supposed to be making your own top 10 lists. At the end of the season, I will be collecting your lists and combining all of your choices to make one charming hot man meter of season 5. I always enjoy getting everyone's tastes and different lists. It just is all over the place. And so I love seeing everyone's choices. So remember to keep up with your lists. And now it's time for MVP. Sean, was there anyone that stood out to you today? You're
simply the best. There actually wasn't, Rob. I think by default, I have to just give it to Piper because she did the most in this episode, but she was kind of lazy herself.
Okay, no, that's fair. I want to give it to Jarek, but only because of his acting ability. Adrian Paul, I thought, was just so cool in this episode. I just think he was top-notch acting like Leo. So I want to give it to the actor, but as far as MVP, I think Piper's sort of quick thinking, and even though it was a long shot, you know, she found a way to save both sisters and it worked. She definitely plays badass now, feeling very indestructible with Baby protecting her. So I'll give it to Piper as well. All right, so that is going to do it for our show. Thank you so much for listening. Sean, next week on Charmed, the importance of being Phoebe.
So, guess in the dark. I know I'm familiar with the importance of being earnest, so I think it's going to be something with Phoebe going back to, like, that Victorian era. But, like, she's still in the present, but she's wearing, like, a big Victorian dress and acting like she's one of the girls from that time.
All right, well, you got the Phoebe part, right? it is very Phoebe-centric, of course. You know what? Just from the top of my head, I have no idea what this episode's about.
Wow.
I really don't. I am trying to think really hard based on the title. What could this be? I completely forgot. I'm really excited to get to the 100th episode, so this next one is just like whatever to me, and I can't think of what it's about. So it looks like we'll both be surprised next week. We are scheduled to record and post another episode, so look out for The Importance of Being Phoebe next Sunday during brunch. Thank you all for listening, and Sean, say goodbye to the people.
Goodbye to the people.
On the WB's Big Sunday.
Hi, boys. Did you miss me?
A scandalous double identity.
I'm telling you, she is off. You want me? I can feel it.
Her face hides an enemy as powerful as a charmed one.
What do you think, witch? Am I as good as you? Oh, you're blonde. I should have known.
An all-new Charmed.